Good morning. Good morning. Happy post Thanksgiving Day. Hope everyone had a great day yesterday and got all that you wanted or needed to satisfy. And they were all feeling very thankful. And as I mentioned yesterday, the fact that Jesus Christ was born and came to die for our sins. Boy, I couldn't ask be more thankful for something as lifelong and as over. I don't think we even know the ramifications of what he did for us. I think we'll learn over time, but that what he went through to be able to have us join him in heaven is just unbelievable. So that's my number one thankful thing. But along that same lines, let's say a prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we cannot praise you or thank you more. There's just no human way we can thank you for all you've done for us. And you continue to do for us. You continue to provide for us and help us. And Lord, we praise you, thank you for it. And you continue to show us how we can be ever faithful to you. And that we're available for whatever you need us for. And that we do it with a joyful spirit. We give you all the thanks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So that was my number one most thankful thing to think about this season. And with all that's going on, it's becoming more and more apparent to me that we are soon so close. I won't say that we are definitely going to see the Lord in person before our deaths, but that the possibility of it happening, I think, is becoming so strong that it would not surprise me that most of us will not see death in this, being the generation that sees that he speaks about as the final generation. Because I just feel the drive to make sure that we reach as many as possible with the gospel, that we can share this with as many as possible, and that time is short, as I've heard plenty of teachers say. I think there's a general sense, even people that hadn't even thought about God really. I know that something is different now. Something is just not the same. And I wonder if the people of the first century felt this way. We see here, we're starting to see the story of when Jesus arrived on the scene. There have been 400 years of quiet, not really much going on in the way of the spiritual realm, that there was some things that went just prior to this period with the Romans taking over. And I'm sure that they felt a little bit like they were looking for their Messiah even then. Now, not knowing what they were looking for. And you often wonder what some of the people of that time frame might have been thinking. But what we're talking about tonight is the angels appear to the shepherds. And I realized today that these were the first people that actually, besides Mary and Joseph, and of course Zacharias and Elizabeth, they knew prior to this. Probably about, let's see, the birth of John the Baptist was about 6 months ago, and in this storyline, and everybody found out about Jesus coming probably about a year ago from this period of time. probably about 9 months ago. So it's been about 9 months I'm sure that Elizabeth, I'm not sure if Mary told many people because she was embarrassed. She was concerned that people were going to look down on her, and particularly Joseph, because of the fact that she was pregnant and they weren't married yet. That was that was like the worst thing ever you could put on a mother, to think that her child was illegitimate. And there's some cases that believe that Jesus was actually mocked for being illegitimate by most of the people of that time frame. There's a psalm that talks about that. So probably if you were with Joseph right now or Mary, what would be going through your minds? You got this bundle of joy that just arrived, you realize that he has got, he is very, very special. He is the Son of God. I mean, gosh, can't imagine what that's like. Anyway, maybe when we meet Mary someday in heaven, we can get a little bit better idea how she really felt during those days. That'll be interesting. And Joseph, we'll meet Joseph also. So, that was my intro. And so let's get into some verses. I want to do a backdraft. Not really. It's we're talking about some shepherds. So, and what they saw. And I just realized that I don't think I have the picture that I wanted. So I remember downloading it, but I don't remember seeing it in my slides. And I sometimes find it interesting to try to have a visual to kind of enhance the presentation a little bit. Anyways, so there were shepherds abiding in the fields. Now, I used to think in December, again, was a good possibility. It goes back and forth, but you know what? It's not that important. Since that of what time of the year it was. We celebrate on December 25th, and I think that the fact that, here we have Luke actually talking to the mother of Jesus to get this information, and she didn't mention it, and I'm sure like any mother remembers exactly everything that was going on and the exact date, time. I don't think they weighed babies back then, but the weight, the height, you name it, they know everything about every one of their children. And so I don't think it was any different for Mary. And so the fact that it's not in the Bible, then God didn't want it there. So we'll just leave it at that. But you can imagine this picture. Here's the shepherds out minding their flocks. And this is probably a pretty good representation of what they saw. And some neat verses about talking about tending sheep. I commented that they were out in the field, and one of the disadvantages that they had is that, of course, they're tending sheep, and sheep is a wolves and bears and all kinds of things love to eat sheep, and so the shepherd's job was to protect the sheep, and that's why Jesus uses that terminology so much, that he's the great shepherd, that he's the one that protects his sheep, and the sheep being us. So it's a great analogy. But that's also why we hear a lot about David, because Jesus is a fulfillment of the messianic line of David. Over in 1 Samuel 17:34 is when we saw the story of David and Saul, and how he protected his sheep. David was a shepherd, and David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him." So this is one of the jobs of another place over in John 10, 8 through 12. This is talking about what Jesus says about being the good shepherd and what he does. "And all that came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." Because the sheep are protected by the shepherd, the sheep got to know his voice. They know it really well. And that as soon as they would call him, I remember listening to a story by a pastor one time that actually has visited over there. And he was amazed that he was out in this general area, I guess kind of like sightseeing. And there was a shepherd not far away. And as soon as he made a sound to call the sheep, they came to him like... like immediately, like as soon as they heard the shepherd's voice, all the sheep came around them. And it really gave a substance to these verses about Jesus being the great shepherd that will know his voice. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I come that I may have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep." But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, who own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth his sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catches them and scattered the sheep. And so it's a, there were times that the shepherd had to be, had to leave the sheep in the hands of other people. And that was a lot of times when the sheep would actually get hurt or lost, is that kind of like the idea that, that the owner of the sheep knows the sheep better and the sheep know him. So a pretty good analogy. Okay, on to verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. So I found this fascinating. That's why I get this picture. You can imagine out there, it's pitch dark. They're taking care of the sheep, and all of a sudden, this figure walks up, and it's probably glowing. It seems like whenever the angels appeared to man, that they were very bright, and they're very noticeable. And we see this in a couple of different places. So I picked some verses, Matthew 1:20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thy son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is the Holy Ghost. I brought this verse in just to point out the angel of the Lord in other places that appears. We saw it in this verse in Luke. See here, the angel of the Lord. I forgot to mention that's actually in the Bible 64 times, that phrase, angel of the Lord. And typically it's Gabriel, because Gabriel was the messenger, and his main job is the Jewish nation during this time frame. And so almost any place you see angel of the Lord appear, that's probably talking about Gabriel. And the reason I brought this Matthew account in here is to show other places that the angel of the Lord is used. Here we're talking about when, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared. He had found out Mary was pregnant by the angel, was told of him, and David is having second thoughts about marrying Mary. And so the angel appears unto David, unto Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. He's probably going through his head, how'd she get pregnant? You know, I mean, there's only one way to get pregnant. I ain't going to pull the wool over my eyes. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. Jumping down to verse 2 in Matthew, verse 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother, we're coming to this point, and flee to Egypt. That's coming up soon. I brought this in here just to show that the angel of the Lord kept coming. Also down in verse 19, when Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. So you can see that this angel of the Lord, and the proof of who it is, if you remember, it's somewhat confirmed over in Luke 1:11, and let's just look at those verses real quick. Now, the Luke 1:11. And they appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. This is when Zacharias was told about John the Baptist. Jumping down to verse 19. And the angel answered, sent unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. So this kind of confirms that that this angel of the Lord is mentioned here as Gabriel. And also that talking about being surprised, Zacharias was surprised also, and we see that over in verse 12 there, this passage we just read. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Same thing we just heard out of the angel, out of the shepherds. But of course, my favorites showing of somebody from heaven. This is Jesus actually, but when he showed himself to Paul, when he was Saul, that he was a bright light and he couldn't look upon him. So it seems like that anyone that comes from heaven is really bright. We see that over in Acts 22:6-10. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was shown nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell upon the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. So again, all the bright figure. And the angel said unto him, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great... we're back to Luke 2, verse 10. And the angel said unto him, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I love that, all people. As many of them try to say that he only came for the Jews, and initially that's what he did. He was the idea was to save the Jews, get them on board, and they were going to go out and be evangelizers of the entire world. Well, it didn't quite work out that way. Jesus was only able to really start off with about 12. And I don't think that was the original plan. I think God knew that that wasn't going to work, but that was the original plan. Because there's some verses in Ezekiel that talk about Gentiles following a Jewish person to the temple to worship. Kind of like the idea of the Jewish nation, that the Gentiles are going to be adopted into the Jewish nation as co-heirs. And so that idea is all through the Bible. But verses like this, I think, really point to the fact that God had plans to save the entire world, not just the Jewish. And one other passage, too, in Revelation, it always got me kind of bugged, because John, who was one of the apostles, I was a disciple right from the beginning. He was one of the first ones picked. But in Revelation 1, 17 and 18, when Jesus appeared to John in his heavenly body, he was so godly looking, I can't think of a good word, that he fell on his feet. And here he is in Revelation 1, 17. This is John speaking. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. But you can see here, even John was called the most beloved, one of the most beloved of Jesus. Fell on his face from the surprise of Jesus and how he looked in his heavenly body. And talking about all people, there's a bunch of verses. The great statement as to what, as some want to say, Jesus only came for the, this is some of the verses too that talk about that. But I guess I'd point to a few other verses. I'm only going to talk about a few. The rest will be in the notes and on the webpage. But some verses you can look up is in Luke 2, 31 to 32. We'll get to those. Luke 24, 47. I'm going to read Genesis 12, 3 here. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Say again, all families. Psalm 67, 1 and 2, Psalm 98, 2 and 3, Isaiah 49, 6, and I'll read that one. And he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also come thee for a light to the Gentiles. So you can see his original intent was to first come for the tribes of Jacob and of Israel, but he intended on to be a light for the Gentiles, that they mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. So another great passage in Isaiah. There's another one in Isaiah 52, 10, Matthew 28, 18, Mark 1, 15, Mark 16, 15. I'll read that one. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So not just certain ones. Also in Ephesians, 3:8, Colossians 1:23, and at one of the I'll read is in Romans 15:9 through 11. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again, he said, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and laud him, all you people. So God's intent was to save everyone, but he was going to do it through the Jewish nation. And that was mainly because of Jesus, the Son of God, being born through that particular people group. Okay, on to verse 11. Famous verse we see in plenty of Christmas cards this time of the year. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Breaking down this verse a little bit, Isaiah 9:6 is where that term comes for us. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And what I find interesting, too, is that there could have been many of these people that were anticipating his arrival any time now because of the prophecy in Daniel 9, 24 through 27. It gives them the exact day, exact time, period of time that he was going to arrive. Now, the prophecy in Daniel talks about when he rides into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, but that they should have been basically eagerly awaiting for him prior to that period, realizing that he would be born as a baby and he'd have to grow up. So they should be looking for him based on Daniel 9, 24 through 27. I'll just read through it real quick. 70 weeks are determined upon the people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, that happened in Nehemiah, unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troubled times. So this is an exact number of days and weeks that it was going to be between when they rebuilt Jerusalem. This was after the occupation. After the Babylonian captivity, by the time Jesus had born, it had already been standing for quite a while, and then until the prince should become, will be this number of 7 weeks. 7 weeks meaning 7 weeks of years, so it ends up being 490 years, and 62 weeks. So I'll give you an idea that they should have been aware. Then even talks about in verse 26 and 27. 26 is when Jesus actually came into town, but he was cut off, meaning he was crucified. And then verse 27 is talking about a future date. That's the one passage that talks about the fact that the tribulation is going to be 7 years long, and that how we know it when it starts. That's when the Antichrist confirms the covenant with many for 1 week. So that's the clue. We should be gone by then. We're not destined to the wrath of the Antichrist. Okay, Luke 2:12. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now this angel is talking to these people. You shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. I couldn't find a picture. I found one, but it wouldn't download something similar like this, with angels in the sky kind of singing also. So you can imagine that these shepherds really got a positive sign of what was going on here. I'm talking about praising God. Just thinking about that. I thought of a few verses, one in Job 38:7. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. That's a verse that's talking, the morning stars here is basically talking about angels. And the sons of God here is talking about angels. Shouted for joy. Sorry. Also in Psalm 68:17. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. Over in Psalm 103, verse 20, blessed the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearken unto the voice of his wind, of his word. Psalm 103:21. Bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Talking about all the angels that are going to be singing praises. And we're going to see some of these when we get to heaven. Oh, what a choir that's going to be. It's going to be awesome. Imagine that. Thousands and thousands of voices lifted up to the Lord in praise and hymns. Also Psalms 148:2. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Felt like singing it. Revelation 5:11, and I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. So just like a good father, Father and God in heaven, his son is being born, and he's just as excited as these shepherds are going to be after this encounter. Okay, back to Luke, verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that had heard it wondered at these things which they were told them by the shepherds. So again, I call these my first the first witnesses spreading the word of the Lord, of the Messiah. And I couldn't help but think about Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the utmost parts of the earth. Of course, this is after Jesus' ministry, and they were going to be witnesses also. That includes us too, but I think these shepherds had the initial job of being the first witnesses of the birth of Christ. I couldn't help but think about the famous John 1:1 passage. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and life was the light of men. Talking about the light. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Then jumping down to verse 14, and this is what's happening right here. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The word here being Jesus Christ. And that famous verse, I always love, John 1. So I'm jumping down to verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Yeah, and it's interesting to think about the fact that until this time when she revealed all these things to Luke. Now realize that 50 years has passed since this all happened. And Mary is telling Luke about him. Luke published this gospel at sometime around 50 to 60 AD. You figure that this particular story she's telling us was probably well over 60 years old. So Mary was probably well into her 70s when she was telling Luke this, I'm thinking. Most people figure she was about 16 when she got pregnant. So let's say that was 4 BC. So by zero, she was 20 years old. And then by 60 AD, 50 AD, when Luke was writing this, she was in her 70s or 80s. So probably thinking about that, she wanted to get this stuff down on paper and make sure that it got told to the world. And that's why she made this statement. She kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And I'm so glad she shared it with us. And Luke 2:20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. A couple of verses to close this out. Talking about the triumphal entry. And this is over in Luke. We'll see this in Luke 19, 37 and 38. Talking about the next time that they will hear praises to God. And when he was come nigh, even now, to the descent of Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. So, comes full circle. That'll be our lesson for today. And I apologize for that gap. I really wanted to have this picture in the background. So hopefully you enjoyed it also. I had a couple more pictures too. Let me show you some kind of interest. I got a better picture of the map to give you an idea from Nazareth. This is how they typically would go. They would come over to the Jordan River, come down towards where Jericho is. Remember, if you talk, study Joshua, that's where Joshua crossed over into the Promised Land. It's right there at Jericho. And there's Jerusalem there, and then right below it was Bethlehem. Some other pictures. This is actually a modern day shepherd in Israel. There's still shepherds there now. And this is a manger. I remember here they were looking for a manger. That probably was something unique about baby Jesus, was it? He was in a manger. That helped the shepherds to know who to look for. I'll give you an idea of the size of it. There's a small child inside one of them. And that's a carpenter shop. It got a little out of place. It's a typical home of that period of time. Typically, animals and livestock were kept under the house in the lower levels, and then the family lived in the upper levels. Some pictures of another picture I found with an angel. Another typical home of that particular area. This is actually Nazareth, because Nazareth was actually on the side of a hill, so it was very hilly. Pictures of what it might have looked like, Mary coming on a donkey. And was there any pictures? But there were some others I wanted to show. That's modern day Nazareth. Give you an idea what it looks like now. I'm sure it didn't look like that in Jesus' time. And this is a synagogue in Nazareth. So this may be some place that Jesus went in his childhood when he went to the synagogue. Once he got back there, right now he's in Bethlehem. But synagogues were probably pretty similar in relationship. So that pretty much ends today's lesson. And I will end with a prayer. Thank you, Lord, so much for this lesson today, Lord. Thank you for helping us to understand it. You give you all the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I'll talk to you all guys next week. And today being Friday, of course, we got our normal services on Sunday. Hope to see you there at 9 and 10 in the morning. 9 for Sunday school and 10 a.m. For worship service. And then our 5 o'clock evening service. Hope to see you there. And you have a great Friday and Saturday.